Thank you so very much. This is a very, very meaningful night for me. I've had so many precious experiences here in this sanctuary. It was great to have Tara and Kathy up here leading in the music and to just be able to worship and just really kind of a feeling, you know, that you can't really put into words, but it's very, very meaningful and very, very precious. I'm seeing a lot of the people from Hudson Christian Church, but to just increase the joy with you brothers who we've fellowshipped with from month to month, you know, and serve the Lord together and worship the Lord together. So that's just icing on the cake, as it were. It's a precious thing to see each one of you. And I might leave somebody out now, but I want to mention there's at least three people here that they're not members of Hudson Christian Church, and they're not members of the Area Men's Fellowship, but they're here tonight because they're special friends, and they mean a lot to me. David and Colleen and Larry Gresham from over Washington, Illinois. But it's just an all-around blessed evening for me. One interesting thing, I guess this is the first time that I've preached from this pulpit other than my, I had one, what they call a trial sermon here at one time, but we had a different pulpit then. But other than that, this is the first time I've preached from this pulpit. It's not even theoretically possible for me to get fired. You know. So I can just feel pretty free. I don't have to worry about any political correctness at all. With this group, though, I wouldn't have to worry about that anyway. But let me read one very precious verse that our Lord Jesus gave us, John chapter 16 and verse 33. And I'm going to leave it up to you if you want to stand, because it's only one verse, but we've always stood when we read Scripture, and I think it's honoring to the Lord. But these words are so, so precious from the Lord Jesus. By being in John 16, you know that it's the night of the Last Supper, and he's been saying some very heavy things to his disciples. And he says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world." Thank you, Lord Jesus. We know you have overcome. We worship you. We ask that you speak to us now, and we receive and obey and love you faithfully. And we thank you for the help we have with that because of the precious bond of fellowship that exists between us because of Jesus and because of your Spirit. Father, we pray this prayer. Ask for your blessing and your Spirit to fill this place and to be in us, in Jesus' name. In the church where we attend in Michigan, there's a dear lady who some time ago sent several of us an email requesting prayers for her husband's wounds to heal. His health issues had been going on for quite some time, and she described it in that email as this whole ordeal. At times it seems it will never end. But she added, trusting God, he is in control. Trusting God through a long, painful, seemingly endless ordeal, knowing that God is in control. Jesus said, in the world, you have tribulation, but take courage, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. There's two parts to that. There's the tribulation in the world, and there's the victory in Jesus. And we well know that there is always victory in Jesus. In Romans 8, verses 31 through 39, the Apostle Paul said that in tribulation, distress, famine, persecution, peril, or sword, we overwhelmingly conquer through Jesus who loves us. And the reason we overwhelmingly conquer, it's precisely because those things, tribulation, peril, sword, death, those things cannot separate us from His love. And it's by His love that we conquer. Now, the tribulation in the world is obvious. Jesus could well say, each day has enough trouble of its own. But specifically to His loyal disciples, Jesus said, He spoke of a tribulation that they would have directly because of their loyalty to Him. They would have a special kind of trouble. On top of the flat tires and all the other stuff that we endure just because there's trouble in the world, they would have a special kind of trouble. The world would hate them and oppose them, He said. And that did happen. They experienced that. They were persecuted by both the Jews and the Romans. It was unfair, but it happened. And with what is happening now in the world, we can't help but wonder. When we know that there are Christian brothers and sisters who are literally being persecuted, some giving their lives, and as we look at what is happening in America as the hostility toward Jesus seems to be growing and people are becoming more and more vocal about that hostility, we can't help but wonder if perhaps persecution will be our experience, as it was for those first disciples. Thank God that is in God's hands. But I think it's safe to say that we're going to face some real challenges as we seek to live faithful and pure and uncompromised lives for our glorious Lord Jesus Christ. And may our priority always be to be faithful to Him, no matter what the cost. Do you know faithfulness in persecution, in temptation, in times of testing? Faithfulness starts right now. Living pure lives. Brothers, I'm not going to get sidetracked on it, but with things that we've heard about just recently, how we're reminded of the importance of keeping our most private and secret lives pure. And faithfulness in a time of great persecution starts right now. By faithfully speaking the truth in love about sin and about salvation and about Jesus. It's challenging, but even in a world that is hostile to Him, we can live faithful lives and we can have that victory and we can live in joy. We can be faithful. Jesus has overcome the world. He has conquered the world and deprived it of its power to harm us. We can say, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. To paraphrase Philippians 4:13, we can say we can be ready for anything through Jesus Christ who loves us. Jesus' people can overcome like those in Revelation 12:11 who overcame Satan because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. And they did not love their life even when faced with death. We can do all of that, but brothers, we must be prepared. We must have the whole armor of God so that we can resist in the evil day, resist temptation, resist intimidation, and having done all, to stand firm. We must be strong in the Lord. Ephesians 6:10. That's what this sermon is about. I offer four principles, and the fourth one is the key principle in this message: be strong in the Lord. The first three lead up to it. The first principle that I offer you this evening is this: don't be caught off guard if and when people do and say cruel things to you because you are a Christian. 1 Peter 4:12 is relevant. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. Jesus said these things would happen. So if it happens to you, don't say, well, I didn't sign up for this. I just mainly, you know, wanted to play on the church softball team. Don't say that. Move a little closer to Jesus and say, game on. But let's move quickly to the second principle, which is, there is a cost to following Jesus and a reward which far exceeds the cost. There is tribulation, but it's well worth it. The reward is like a treasure. Jesus said it's like a treasure that is literally worth selling everything that you have in order to be able to get this treasure. The Apostle Paul wrote, I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I might gain Christ. Jesus said in the Beatitudes, blessed are those persecuted for righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men cast insults at you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely on account of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. So if and when you are persecuted in any form because of living for Jesus, instead of bailing out, rejoice and be glad. You are being presented an opportunity to hit a heavenly jackpot. Now, when we think of reward, you know, we generally think of receiving eternal life. If we stop and think about that at all, we realize it's just such a tremendous return. Getting eternal life forever, no death, no pain, no sorrow, no tears. Even though we have served Jesus such a very short time in comparison, I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but even if you lived a perfect life, never sinned, which you haven't lived that way, and I haven't, but even if you lived a perfect life, you wouldn't deserve everlasting life in that blissful condition that Jesus describes. That's a pretty great return. But you know what? There's another dimension to that. In Matthew chapter 10 and Luke chapter 12, in a context where Jesus is talking to his disciples about being hated and opposed by the world, It's where he says, I send you out as a sheep in the midst of wolves. He says you're going to be hated by all. They're going to scourge you in their synagogues. You'll be hated by everybody. Jesus offers the special reward. And he says, those in that context, when the pressure is really on, when everybody else is bailing out, those who faithfully declare their allegiance to me, those who confess me before others, I will confess before my Father in heaven, before the holy angels. Brothers, we should think about that and visualize that every day. I can't say that I do, but I say that to my shame. We ought to, you know, if you want to obsess about something, that'd be a good place to start. To picture yourself, Jesus taking you by the hand and leading you to the throne of his Father and saying your name and saying, Father, this is one of mine. And when people were denying me, he said, Jesus is my Lord. I love him. I belong to him. Father, when others were bailing out, when this person was being pressured, he wouldn't budge. Father, he's one of mine. Give him the well done reward. That's precious. Don't seek persecution, but if it comes, remember that being faithful through it is the greatest eternal investment that you can make. To be denied by Jesus is pain indescribable, but to confess him is glory and life. He said, Revelation 3:21, he who overcomes, I will grant him to sit down with me on my throne. There's a cost, but the reward far exceeds the cost. Any suffering that you endure, rewarded 1,000-fold. Praise God. Now that being said, we must clearly see principle number 3. After enduring temptation and or persecution and remaining faithful to Jesus, refusing to cave in, as we endure whatever persecution or hostility or ostracization comes, we must follow Jesus' example in responding to the people who have persecuted us or insulted us. 1 Peter 2, starting at 20, Jesus suffered for you, leaving you an example, and while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats. We must not hold a grudge or return evil for evil. Jesus on the cross said, Father, forgive them. Stephen, as he was dying, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Saying game on doesn't mean gearing up to get revenge. Let us be like Jesus. He said to pray for people who persecute you and bless people who curse you. My daughter-in-law Jennifer was telling me some time ago about children in refugee camps that say that they are praying for the people who killed their parents. We've seen the example of the South Carolina church and their response to that horrible murders, those murders. But listen, the church's response right now, as the world seems to be gearing up to take down anybody who believes in sacred things, as the world seems to be gearing up And first of all, we want to stand faithfully for Jesus. But then as we start to take flack for standing faithful, our response is going to be so important. Jesus' people speaking in love, enduring, and blessing, and showing people the absolute beauty of life in Jesus Christ. I believe Jesus is calling us to do these things, to be ready for persecution, not be caught off guard, to be faithful, to remember the reward, to forgive when we are opposed. I think that's what he's calling us to do. Isn't that simple? Isn't that simple? But to do that, to pass that test, we must have his strength. I absolutely know that I cannot do that in my strength. We must have his strength. We can have it, but we must have it. Principle number four, be strong in the Lord, in the strength of his might. Our flesh is so weak. Peter, before and after, he was empowered by the Holy Spirit. A denier, and then a strong proclaimer, even though it cost him his life. We must have the Lord's strength. So that's principle number four that I hold out to you tonight. Be strong in the Lord. And let me remind you, if he commanded us to be strong in the Lord, then it must be possible. You can be strong, and so can I. Now, we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know how we may be tested tomorrow, or when we may be tested at a level much higher than we're being tested now. If we are wise today, we will be getting as strong as we possibly can today. And we will be getting as close to Jesus as we can possibly get while we have the opportunity. Let us make our number one priority passing the test of being faithful to Jesus. Because when we're tested, if we're put to the test and we have to either deny or confess Jesus Christ, and maybe our life or something else very dear to us is at stake, the only thing that will really matter is that we are faithful. Some people are storing up food for the next 20 years because they want to have food. Well, that may be a very good thing. I'm not putting that down. Or they may be constructing safe shelters, and that may be all right. But that pales in comparison to everything will depend on whether you and I stand faithful for the Lord Jesus or not. And so, let us work hard at getting close to him and strong in him. Don't pass up. We have the Word of God now. It's theoretically possible many Bibles might be taken away from us. I'm not saying that will happen, but right now we have the Bible. Don't pass up opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to hide the Word of God in your heart and mind. Don't pass up that opportunity while you have it. Let us be busy encouraging one another to be faithful and praying for one another. I sure hope and ask that you pray for me. There's two wonderful biblical truths that we can fill our minds with that will be such an encouragement to us. One is that passage, you're familiar with it, from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It's verses 13 through 18. It's part of the treasure that is worth selling everything for. I'm going to start reading it at verse 15. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Here Jesus promises us a reunion with every other faithful Christian, a reunion in the clouds, eternal life with Him. We shall always be with the Lord in His glorious kingdom. How often do you think about that? How often do you visualize that moment? Put yourself in that. Put yourself. You're going about your regular activities, and then suddenly Jesus Himself descends from heaven. You hear the shout, His shout. You hear the voice of the archangel. You hear the trumpet of God. Deceased Christians, rise. Living Christians are caught up together with them and meet them in the clouds and meet the Lord in the air. Now see, that's worth everything. That's worth everything. Let us make up our minds right now that no matter what, I'm going to be one of those people that Jesus is coming for. I'm not going to miss out on that. I'm not going to let any other pseudo-priority keep me from being ready to be found faithful when He returns. Think about that when you're tempted or intimidated. One of my favorite songs of all time, and I'm so thankful that we sang Victory in Jesus tonight, but one of my favorite songs of all times, a song that I think it came out in the 70s. I listened to it in the 70s. It was by a group called the Pat Terry Group. And the name of it was I Can't Wait. Anybody remember that song? I Can't Wait? I can't wait to see Jesus in His glory as He bursts from the sky. I can't wait to be held in His arms, see the glimmer in His eye. Tell me how it's going to be. Read it from the Bible again. I can't wait to see Jesus. Jesus is coming again. I can't wait to hear trumpets because I know what they mean when they sound. I can't wait to cast off my burden, feel my feet leave the ground. I can't wait to see heaven and to walk those streets of gold. I can't wait to check into my mansion, get my sleeping bag unrolled. Tell me how it's going to be. Read it from the Bible again. I can't wait to see Jesus. Jesus is coming again. Fill your mind up with that. Fill your mind up with that. But there's even more. Before we get there, before we hear the trumpet, while we're being faithful in trials and temptations, there's a second glorious truth, and that is that nothing can separate us from Jesus' love. Back to Romans 8. It's Jesus' unfailing love by which we conquer, and nothing can separate us from that love. One analogy he uses is he says that He is our husband, the church is His bride. Isaiah 62:5 is a beautiful verse. As the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so your God will rejoice over you. He takes great delight in us. He loves us. And as we journey on our way to His kingdom, it's that love by which we conquer. And I want to remind everybody that that's especially true when we're going through the toughest times. Don't ever think if you're going through a hard time or if you're persecuted or opposed, don't ever think that that means He doesn't love you or He has left you. He's promised to never leave you. He told His apostles, His own apostles, I'm with you always. And yet, much of the time that he was with them, they suffered, but they were victorious in that suffering. They rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer for his name. I wanted to share this with you. Paul wrote to Timothy after Paul faced so many persecutions. He wrote to Timothy and he said, "You followed my persecutions and suffering, such as happened to me at Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me." Brothers, he had been stoned and left for dead at Lystra, and yet he was victorious. The Lord was with him. Being stoned and left for dead couldn't defeat Paul. And later, as his martyrdom neared and his physical life wasn't going to be miraculously saved anymore, he wrote this: "The Lord will deliver me from every evil deed and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen." Being killed by Nero couldn't defeat Paul, because death couldn't separate him from Jesus' love. The crown of life was waiting for Paul. Jesus and his love is with us even when we go through the biggest tests. We also like to think about the times that he shows his love to us by protecting us from the danger or the trouble, don't we? All the times that surgery has gone well, that financial pressure has been relieved. How blessed we are when we identify with Psalm 34. "I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them." We say amen and sing, "The God of angel armies is always by our side." So however the Lord manifests this precious love to us and makes us victorious conquerors, whether it's protecting us from suffering or leading us victoriously through it, Psalm 37:25 is always true. "I've been young and now I'm old, and I've never seen the righteous forsaken." And the reason we are never forsaken is because there was one exception to that principle. When the most pure and holy one of all was forsaken on the cross, and he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And you and I know why he was forsaken. Because he was bearing the punishment that you and I deserve. And because he was faithful and endured that forsakenness, you and I need never, never be forsaken. Receive this truth. Ponder this. Jesus suffering and dying and being raised for us demonstrates and proves conclusively that God loves you and me. Receive that to the very depths of your soul, down to the very last nerve ending in every part of your body. And because Jesus loves us so, and our Father loves us so, we can be strong in the Lord. We can be prepared, and we can be faithful. We can bring glory to God no matter what we go through. From Hebrews, "We are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul." My dear brothers, as I said, it is so precious to me to be with you tonight. This is a precious night for me. I wish that I could be with you more. But I wanted to bring you this message, and I apologize if it's been too long. It seems to me like I've been up here preaching a long time. And I'm sorry if I've preached too long, but I wanted, this message was on my heart. I want to say, whether it's a long health ordeal or hostility or being treated unfairly or falsely criticized or even painful persecution. If we are strong in Him, and we can be, we are victorious conquerors through Him who loved us, through Jesus who has overcome the world. Remember the reward for faithfulness. Be ready, be strong, but use the opportunity now. Get close to Jesus. You can't be faithful in your own strength. Get filled up with His Word and with the Holy Spirit. And though in this life I may not get to be with you too much more because of distance or other circumstances, my dear brothers, we will have forever together to celebrate our victory in Jesus. Thank you, God, and we praise you. All the glory is thine. In the name of our risen Savior, your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen.